And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We are broadcasting live from our studios, which, of course, are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Tuesday morning edition of our broadcast. And we're grateful that you're listening, tuning in today. Many of you, no doubt, live, and some of you, of course, will catch up with us later as you archive today's Grace Hour broadcast. But again, we want to welcome each and every one of you and remind you that following today's devotional message, we'll open the phone lines, and we hope to hear from many of you today. We've got a wonderful theme this week on the Grace Hour. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the rushing wind of the Holy Spirit, which, of course, we understand happened at Pentecost in the book of Acts when those believers were gathered together in that upper room waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came in an unusual way and manifested himself with that mighty rushing wind. Now, that's not to say that every time the wind blows that you can say it's the Holy Spirit, but I think we understand the principle behind it. It was, of course, the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we understand the need for that in our lives today, of course. So we will be developing that theme as the week progresses right here on the Grace Hour. And, of course, we always invite our listeners to join us. When those phone lines are open, you can do so simply by dialing one of these numbers. The toll-free number in all of North America, 800-338-7060. Again, both in Canada and the United States. So if you're listening in Alberta, Canada, give us a call. Calgary, Edmonton, Montreal, Quebec City, anywhere in the country of Canada, give us a call. And, of course, in the continental United States, we'd love to hear from you as well. We'll keep those phone lines open following today's devotional message and wait to hear from you, our listeners, with your comments, questions, testimonies, counseling needs, and your prayer requests. And, friends, we want to remind you, don't underestimate the power of corporate prayer. If you have a need, and you would like the body of Christ to pray for that need, do not hesitate. When those phone lines are open, you give us a call. We'll join you for whatever those needs may be. You know, over the many years, God has answered the prayers of his people through this broadcast when his people have cried out to him and come boldly before that throne of grace. So make sure you do that today. If you have a need, share it with us. We'll share it with our listeners and the brethren around the world, and we'll join you for whatever that need may be. Again, the number is 800-338-7060, toll-free in all of North America. The local number, for those of you here in the Baltimore area, that's 410-483-3700. I'd like to welcome everyone listening live on gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and, of course, our podcast is broadcast live on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, Stitcher, and many more. And again, if you're not listening to us live today, you can catch up the archives on today's broadcast and listen to it at your convenience. We do want to mention, friends, that coming up very quickly is the International Convention here at the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore. And things get underway with our annual Maryland Bible College and Seminary Golf Tournament, which will take place Monday, the 20th of June. And we want you to know that you can register for that golf tournament right now. Go to ggwo.org/events and register today. All of the information is there on that site. And you can sign up today, make your plans to be with all of the other brothers and sisters out in the golf course, on that Monday morning. And, of course, the first message of the convention will come to us from Mountain Branch Country Club. Pastor Shallow will be there, and he'll be sharing the first message of this year's International Convention. And, again, if you're not a golfer, not a problem. You want to join us for the luncheon? Well, again, the fee is for that is $25, and all are welcome to come to that as well. So it's going to be a great kickoff to our International Convention. And don't forget, when you sign up and register for this golf tournament, those monies that we will raise will go directly to helping our international students come here to Baltimore, to Maryland Bible College and Seminary to study and to earn their various degrees and then to launch out into the world with the gospel of the grace of God. So, again, if you can make it, love to have you. Go to the website today, ggwo.org/events. Sign up for the golf tournament right now. Joining me in the studio today to share today's devotional message, Pastor Wright. Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you, Pastor Love. And as many of you already know, I've got this Godfather voice, but it doesn't add or take away from the content. That's what's important.
Amen.
And we're very thankful. This theme, by the way, in terms of the Holy Spirit's ministry, now, I don't know, but yesterday, pardon me, yesterday was Pentecost. And, you know, just the amazing reality of the fact that the Holy Spirit came not to just visit, as it was in the Old Testament, but came to dwell permanently, abide, and remain with us forever. And that is an absolute reality. Now, we've got the theme today of being led into all truth. And that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to say, you know, unfortunately, the Holy Spirit's ministry and his reality has gotten, marginalized as if he can be identified relative to an experience or an event or some sense of energy or power. And yes, he has all those attributes of being the third person of the Trinity. However, his ministry is to take that which was given to the Son by the Father and to reveal it unto us. So now we have the Holy Spirit who will lead us into all truth. But one of the things that is so important about truth, and when we think of that word truth, now many times a person could say, I had an experience. And it was real. And I mean, like I was there. And you know, we're not going to take one scintilla away from the fact that that individual had an experience. But that doesn't authenticate whether or not it was truth or based on truth. It could be, you know, a fabrication. It could be a delusion. It could be a lot of different things. And there's a lot of things that the Antichrist will be using in the latter days to, if it were even possible, but not, to deceive the elect. But we have the Holy Spirit, and he is abiding in us. And this is important because under the Old Covenant, under the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit principally functioned within the context of three given offices by God. Those offices, prophet, priest, and king. And we can find every example of those offices being functional because the Holy Spirit operated not in the individual, but within the context of the office. So, any wonder why Saul, it says, and the Holy, when David was anointed king and the Holy Spirit came upon him because he was anointed king. It also says in the following verse that the Holy Spirit left Saul, who was the king, but the transference of the office also carried the presence and operation of God, the Holy Spirit. And any wonder why then David could rightfully pray in Psalm 51, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, because of sin, because of what happened with Bathsheba and Uriah. However, that's never a prayer for a New Testament believer. Why? Because of John 14 and verse 16, which says, and I, this is Jesus now saying, I will pray my Father, and he shall give you another comforter. There he is, the Parakletos, the one to come in alongside of to help. And that he may what? Abide with you forever. Now, the language is very, very precise here. Because the word abide doesn't mean visit or show up on occasion. It means to remain. Meno is the word there. It means to settle down, to make a home. And so this is the beautiful basis of truth related to the one who will lead us into all truth. He will reveal the truth about himself. And isn't it interesting that in Luke 11 and verse 13, speaking about how willingly the Father wants to give the gift of the Holy Spirit, okay? And I want us to also realize that it's not something that one would tarry for or, beg for or kind of, you know, ask for. No, we do need to know to walk in the filling of the Holy Spirit, which is a constant, continual filling, a constant operation as God the Holy Spirit. Now, being indwelling, we give him his rightful operational authority over the human soul in conjunction with the human spirit so that our bodies become an amazing living sacrifice, as Paul would say in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present your bodies, he says, as a sacrifice, alive from the dead. And we've said earlier that, you know, the sacrifice was something that was killed. It was something that was slain. But how could it be a sacrifice that is alive? Well, it only could speak of the quickening life of God the Holy Spirit, the second birth, the fact that we are crucified, as Paul would say in Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, what? I have a life. We have a life. And the life that we now live, and this is beautiful because the tense is an infinitive, meaning continuously, ad infinitum, in the future. From that point forward, we are able to live according to the nature of the Holy Spirit's operation and filling. Now, can we grieve, quench, resist? Yes, we can. But when we do, we simply need to 1 John 1:9 rebound and come back under the filling of the Holy Spirit. But our pivotal verse for today's broadcast is John 16 and verses 13 and 14, which beautifully brings out that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And when we said earlier that truth is not an event, it is not an experience, but it is who Christ is. The Holy Spirit is not going to speak of himself, but he will speak of who Christ is. And wasn't it Jesus Christ who said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So when he's speaking of the Spirit of Truth, he's not pointing to himself, but that he truthfully and is the one who can in reality reveal who Christ truly is to us, needing a Savior, not just a good teacher, not just a prophet. You know, when Jesus Christ asked, you know, what's the word on the street? You know, what do men and women say that I am? Well, some say that you're a prophet. Some say you're John the Baptist from back from the dead. And then he turned to Peter and he said, yes, okay, but who do you say that I am? Well, Peter just kind of said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in a moment, he was absolutely 100% truthful about who Christ is. In fact, Jesus said, you know, guess what, Peter? Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. And so this process, ladies and gentlemen, continues that what the Father's plan and what it is that God wants us to know will be revealed to us, not by intellectual pursuit, not by doctrinal dogma or church dogma or some denominational emphasis, but by a continual, ongoing relationship with God the Holy Spirit. But I love Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 23, because it speaks of the operation or the function of the Holy Spirit when it comes, when he's given the rightful place. He says, turn at my reproof. Turn at my reproof. You know, the precious truth is that the Holy Spirit will gently, graciously, lovingly, emphatically, and repeatedly correct us. And it's the person who understands this that I stand to be corrected multiple times in a day. I mean, who am I to think that I got this now, you know? You know, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for, you know, securing my place in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for everything that you've done for me. Now I got to figure this out myself. Or now I got to, like, you know, try to figure out to be the best Christian that I can be. Even if I were to be the best Christian that I think I could be, that would be so alien to what Christ would lead you and I to be, particularly when it comes to the operation of our portion, our gifts, and our availability to the plan of God, which would be eternal in its nature. So God says, listen, turn at my reproof, and I will pour out my spirit unto you. Thank you, Lord, that this pouring out of the spirit. And then it says this, and I will make known my words unto you. Now, this knowing of the word is not intellectual knowing. It is illumination. It is the entrance of God's word brings what? Light. Okay. And, you know, light's the game changer, friends. Light is like, I could, you know, if there was a blackout at, you know, at midnight, and even though I may know everything that's in my house, I still can't see. So what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to feel my way. I know that the sofa is here, and I know that, you know, all the different items are where they are, and I can feel my way and make it to the furniture because I want to get a nice cold glass of water before the fridge, you know, heats up. Well, I could do that on the basis of knowledge. But if I were to ask Pastor Love, who has, you know, come to my house, lights are out, and I said, you know, could you go to the refrigerator and get, you know, there's a bottle of ice water in there. Would you go and get it? Well, he's you know, he doesn't know where anything is, and he can't see anything. And but the minute the lights come back on, that's the game changer. He can see. And he sees, goes down the hall, turns left. There's the fridge right there. Open the door. There's the water bottle. Hey, come on. We can drink freely. This is why it's so important that the Holy Spirit is not going to say and or do anything that cannot be affirmed and confirmed by the Word of God. He works in conjunction with the written Word so that the written Word becomes the living Word, so that the living Word becomes substantial in our thinking, so that then we can think with God and be having, in Philippians chapter 2, the mind or the nous of Jesus Christ. And this is basically the distinctive difference when we come to the two types of wisdom spoken about in James chapter 3. The fact being that there is this wisdom that's from beneath that is sense-oriented, okay? It is full of strife and envy, as it says. It's sense-oriented. It is full of arrogance and pride and conflict, but more so, it is earthy, meaning that it fits the cosmic system of the earth. It is that which is involved with the zeitgeist, as the Germans would say, the air, the trends of the day, the emphasis of the day. People should not be surprised about the seemingly sudden shift of you know, gender blurring and all of the things that are happening within the association of peoples and relationships. Well, that's simply the zeitgeist of the day. And there is a spirit behind that. There is an energy behind that. But those who then get a wisdom from above, which is first what? Pure, unmixed. It is peaceable, producing a godly peace, a peace that passes understanding of the circumstances. And then I love this, is easily entreatable. It means that it's not, you don't need an IQ. The Holy Spirit himself will teach us. And that's what we're talking about today. And so in John 14:26, it says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And then I love this, and bring all things to my remembrance. You know, Pastor Lev, I used to think I had to have a big IQ or photographic memory, you know, pertaining to the Bible and everything. Well, I do want to hide the Word of God in my heart, but thank God it's the Holy Spirit who brings it to the present tense event in my life. I mean, I've had things that, you know, I haven't thought about for 30 years, but I was taught them. And the Holy Spirit said, yes, here's the application. Here's the premise. Here's how to think in this moment of time. And so I end up looking like I'm a genius, but it's not at all me. It's God, the Holy Spirit, leading us, teaching us, and bringing to remembrance those things which Christ has told us. And this is the beautiful ministry. So he's going to lead us, as he does, in all truth. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 11 through 13, we'll close with this. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the spirit of God. So how could I even know what the Lord is like? Okay. For instance, when Jesus Christ, okay, the great invitation, we call it, you know, come unto me, he says in Matthew chapter 11, and come unto me, all of you that are burdened and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you, yoke up with me. Then he says this, and learn of me, or learn what I am like. And then he says, I am meek and I am lowly of heart. Now, the natural man doesn't want, you know, a meek and lowly hero. A natural man wants, you know, conquering, you know, overpowering, you know, destroying superhero. Well, Christ didn't come that way, did he? And he's not going to be that way. He'll come in the second coming as reigning king. We understand that. But right now, in this present hour, we will discover him through meekness and lowliness. We will look and understand what Elijah got, you know, the still small voice. God was not in the earthquake. He was not in the fire. He was not in the breaking of the stones through the wind, but the still small voice. And the Holy Spirit in the still small voice will teach us, lead us, guide us, correct us, and lead us into all truth so we can know and understand the character and nature of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, some great thoughts shared on this Tuesday morning about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I know our theme, of course, is the rushing wind of the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is so much more than the manifestation in that way of the mighty rushing wind. He is the very life that we experience with God, and can't even imagine even contemplating the possibility of trying to live this kind of life without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps the most life-changing, dramatic, single most important principle in this age that we live is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have to count on him. Somebody asked, you know, they asked a friend of mine once, is it difficult, you know, is the Christian life difficult? Is it Christian life hard? And I love their answer. They said, the Christian life is impossible without the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
You know, you got to think of it, Pastor Love, pardon me. If this could be done in the energy of the flesh, then Jesus Christ didn't have to go to the cross. People would say, you know, my righteousness, my good works, or my effort to, you know, appease the justice of God ought to satisfy God. Look at what I am doing. But that's the basis of what religion is. It's all about starting, you know, at the wrong place with myself. But Christ came. He left heaven, came to earth, put on a precious human body, got that perfect, spotless, sinless human body to a cross as the once and for all sacrifice, so that now, We have a new and living way into the very presence of God. We have representation in heaven because he's at the right hand of the Father. But now we also have the gift, the G-I-F-T. Did I say gift? Yes, gift of the Holy Spirit to whosoever believes and trusts and relies on Christ. Not only are our sins forgiven, but we are now, like you said, empowered to walk this life that pleases God by faith.
Mm. And, you know, in the church at large today and throughout the world, there is oftentimes an unbiblical emphasis placed upon, let's say, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And the attention is fixed and focused on the Holy Spirit. And yet the Holy Spirit, if he could speak audibly, he would say, listen, that's you got it wrong. I am not here to get you to see me. I'm here to reveal Christ. I'm here to remind you of the words that he has spoken. There's no competition within the three members of the Holy Trinity. They're not vying for people's attention. they just point to each other. They complement each other. And, you know, so often this overemphasis on the Spirit clouds the reality of who the Holy Spirit is and what his function and role is in the church age today.
And I think to some measure, Pastor, you're right. We function kind of in an anemic way, not because we need more power, but we need more preciseness. We don't need, you know, more of God. We've got all things that pertain to what life and God-likeness has already been given. But, you know, it's like we need to access that. And how do we access that but through the one who knows what has been given, Jesus Christ? So we know that I'm not interested in trying to prove to God my goodness. I'm interested in finding out how the Father is satisfied with his Son's goodness. And then I want to hitch my wagon up to the yoke up with that and go with that.
Mm, and that's what the Holy Spirit so often does, says here, let me reveal to you what Christ has done. Let me show you what he has said. Let me reveal to you his very nature and character, as you stated, was the very purpose of the Holy Spirit's ministry coming. You know, I often go back to the statement that Pastor Stevens made many years ago, and that is you can have the filling of the Holy Spirit without the feeling. Because sometimes, the Spirit's ministry is so closely attached to some kind of emotional experience, when in reality, I have, and I know many others have, enjoyed the ministry of the Spirit without any wonderful feelings. I mean, you know, the feelings, they kind of, they're the caboose.
Yeah.
The mind is the engine.
Wow.
And the Holy Spirit enlightens our minds with the truth regarding Christ and the truth regarding the Scriptures.
Well, isn't it true when Paul says in Galatians 5, 16 and 25, he says, you know, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the, you won't be pursuing your own desires only. You won't just be living for yourself if you're walking in the Spirit. But I like the idea, you know, the idea of walking, that is so common. That is so ordinary. That is not spectacular. You know, if it was left up to us, we'd like to jump or fly or, you know, do something spectacular. But to walk, and I love what Oswald Chambers said. He says it takes all of the divine filling of the Spirit for man to walk on dry ground as it did for Peter to walk on water when Jesus asked him to come out of the boat. And I said, you know what? That's so true. That's so true. To walk in the Spirit today and be filled with the Spirit today is my privilege and my honor, and to do it by faith, because faith doesn't need feelings to confirm it.
That's right. And sometimes people have this idea that, as you said, jumping or flying, a lot of jumping, you know, a lot of lights, a lot of loud music,
wow,
a lot of emotion, that may not necessarily be the manifestation of the Spirit.
Well, you know, you think about it, those things, like you said, should be an effect. They're not the cause. You know, thank God that the song leader or the worship leader, his responsibility is not to work me up, to get me in the Spirit. I should already be filled with the Spirit, and all he's going to do is complement the fact of God's presence, and let's bring it out corporately now. Let's reveal, let's enter into this union that we have, an agreement through the Spirit that God is going to speak to us. The pulpit's going to is anointed. We're going to be instructed, and we're going to grow in this relationship even more so as we're assembled together. That's the power of corporate. You talked about that corporateness too.
Yeah. Well, a number of you have weighed in on our chat here, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Facebook. Yeah, Facebook and gracehour.org. So thank you so much. Pauline says, amen. Great portion, Pastor Wright. Peggy Slocum says, I thank God for the Spirit-filled leadership in this leadership. Thank you so much. Ismene says, still small voice. That's the Spirit is for all of us. And she says, El Salvador is watching, hearing, meditating, studying,
wow,
learning, and of course, praying. Well, praise God.
El Salvador,
great to hear that,
yes,
you're doing it all. We like that.
Through the Spirit.
Through the Spirit. And R.G. Campbell says, Pastor Perkins and the Las Vegas crew is having breakfast with four GGWO pastors and the soul-winning church planting team in San Diego before,
wow,
they head out into the streets of that great city. Pray for souls to hear the gospel of grace. Father, we do pray for that outreach that's happening today, even as we are broadcasting live here in Baltimore on the East Coast. On the West Coast, they're preparing to go out and hit the streets with the gospel of the grace of God. Anoint them, Father, and again, prepare people's hearts to receive this message. And we pray for a harvest of souls, that hearts would be opened and ears would be ready to hear, and that they would, again, doubtless return, bringing their sheaves with them.
Wow.
And anoint them in a very special way. Vladimir Medvedsky says, praise the Lord, hugs and love from Ukraine. Please continue to keep our precious brothers, wow, and sisters, the churches of the Greater Grace World Outreach and other churches that preach Christ Jesus in your prayers, friends. Don't forget about them. You know, sometimes this conflict goes on so long that it can start to get pushed in the back page of people's minds.
Well, you know what, Pastor Love? I'm so very thankful that my prayer life is not conducted by the media, because you're exactly correct. You know, certain things, you know, get front and center for a season, and then something else comes up, and then something else, and oh yeah, right, there's a war going on over there. But God, the Holy Spirit, now will lead us, and like you're prompting, and you know, Vladimir's, you know, mentioning it in the body of Christ. So now I'm quick and in the moment. And as Pastor Perkins was talking about those on the West Coast, quickened in the moment so that we can enter into intercession for them at the moment that they need it. And it's all supernatural, and I'm loving it. It's a great way to live.
Amen. And Pauline is again reaching out to us today from Calcutta, India. Thank you, Pauline. We appreciate,
wow,
that so much. Thanks for listening to the Grace Hour and reaching out to us today. Now the phone lines are open, so we invite you to join us. This is a fascinating theme and subject, a greatly misunderstood theme and subject among many Christian circles. But I think that we have a very balanced approach. I think that the message you heard today from Pastor Wright is a very balanced, sound, theological approach to the ministry, the work, and the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, I love the fact, and you mentioned this in your devotional thoughts today, that you're not going to find the Holy Spirit working differently than the Scriptures. He's always going to complement the Scriptures. You're not going to find the Holy Spirit saying, well, I know the Scripture says this, but this is what I'm telling you to do. And so often you hear that, and when you hear people say, this is what the Holy Spirit is leading me to do, and it contradicts the Scriptures, right there's a little red flag that's raised, and you say to yourself, wait a minute, how can this be? This Holy Spirit always works in perfect conjunction and unity with the Word of God.
Well, again, you know, and we are very thankful to having been very well taught. The balance that, you know, anyone could hear in me and hear in you is because of an incredible investment, balanced investment of teaching. Because we all grew up, you know, with, I'm sure you remember, you know, out of Toronto, and God bless our brothers in Toronto, you know, the barking anointing and the laughing anointing and all of these things which were attributed to the operation of the Holy Spirit. And you don't find any of that in the scriptures. So right away in my mind, I say, like, that's an experience. They did have that experience truthfully, but it's not the truth because there's no confirmation or affirmation given in the scriptures, as you were saying.
Amen. Yeah, so true. And I love the fact that you brought out that it is possible for the believer to grieve the Spirit, to quench the Spirit, to even resist the Spirit, but never in such a way that you can grieve away the Holy Spirit or quench completely the Holy Spirit or resist him utterly to the point that he is driven from you. Now, over the years, I have heard professing believers make such statements, finding some in a state of great discouragement, even depression, and making this declaration, the Holy Spirit has forsaken me. Now, that, again, flies in the face of what the scriptures teach in Ephesians 1:13 and in Ephesians 4:30, that once we hear the word, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up his residence within our souls, and we are sealed. And I'll tell you something, when God makes a seal, it's not going to be broken.
I'm just letting that thought sink in, you know. That's
Selah.
Because it's interesting that he does the sealing. I can't seal myself. I can't keep myself. Thank you, Lord. That is not my job. But I walk in that which has been given, and I keep myself in orientation towards that is given. And one of the things I think is, you know, we could clear up right here and right now, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not an occasional time. It is the norm and standard for every single believer. And so that being out of the Spirit or grieving the Spirit is the exception, not the rule. So I'm not walking around being 90% carnal and 10% spirit filled. Let's turn that around. And I'm learning by grace to walk in the reality of this kind of life, because again, it's not going to be indicated by my feelings, but it will be substantiated by my faith and trust in God and what he said he will do. And I'm going with that.
Mm. And of course, the admonition in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. And what happens when someone is intoxicated with alcohol? Well, it controls them. And, you know, sorry to say that I have to speak from experience way back in the day, B.C., before Christ, of course. But that alcohol controls you. You do things under its influence that otherwise you would probably not do. Well, when the Holy Spirit is filling you, and that's the admonition, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be constantly being fulfilled. What happens when the Holy Spirit is constantly filling you? You're under the Holy Spirit's influence.
Amen. Wow.
You're led by the Spirit. You're thinking God's thoughts. The Spirit is leading your steps and guiding you and showing you that truth and revealing that truth to your heart.
Well, you know, you touched on something, because it's the alcohol that brings out the old sin nature. And if I'm arrogant, if I'm proud, if I'm angry, if I'm resentful in my flesh, the alcohol fuels that and brings that out, and I get real ugly. Well, thank you, Lord, it's not true today. But the same thing. So now the Holy Spirit is going to bring out Christ. And that's what we mean by the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, temperance. You know, this is the thing that now becomes manifest because it's the Holy Spirit. It's not my personality. It's not my background, my culture, my education, my accumulated experiences over time. It's God, the Holy Spirit. And fruit cannot be, well, you know, if you ever seen a plastic bowl of fruit on the kitchen table,
you say, looks real.
Looks real. I don't take a bite. It's not. But It cannot be counterfeited, and it cannot be imitated. It is what it is, the nature of God.
Amen. Phone lines are open. You can join us, friends. Now's the time to pick up that phone. Give us a call and share your thoughts with us. 800-338-7060. That's toll-free in all of North America. And right here in the Baltimore area, you can join us at 410-483-3700. And Becky D'Agostino has asked a question. Don't you think that the most miserable believers are those who are grieving the Holy Spirit? I can only speak from my own experience. I would say yes. And we should make a good point here with her question. The Holy Spirit will convict the believer of sin. And if the believer doesn't respond to that conviction, then they will be able to sense the grieving nature of the Holy Spirit. It's almost as if God sent the Holy Spirit, and when the believer tolerates sin in his or her life to any degree, to any level, the Holy Spirit says, look, I'm here, and I'm going to make you perfectly miserable until you confess that. Because I find it interesting, the whole purpose of the Spirit of God, well, we should say one of the primary purposes of the Spirit of God is to reveal Christ through us to others. Mm-hmm. Now, when we tolerate sin in our lives, the Holy Spirit says, okay, this is not my primary function. I want to reveal Christ through you, but now I have to turn to you with this pleading ministry. Mm. To confess your sin, and please do it quickly so I can get on and about the business of revealing Christ through you to others.
Yes.
And that's how he's grieved.
And was it Isaiah 30:18? And here's something that, again, reveals the heartbeat of God. Though that happens, and though that could be true, it says so beautifully that the Lord will wait. To be what? Gracious. And if I think about my stubbornness in the flesh, and by the way, the flesh is always going to be stubborn. The flesh will not submit, will not obey, will not listen to God. Don't think, you know, there's not enough grace in the universe to change your flesh. So God just said, I'll just crucify it. Because there's no way it's going to make any improvements or any kind of meritorious advance. However, when I'm crucified and I grieve the Holy Spirit, then the Lord says, okay, I'll wait. And, you know, you intend to want to have your way. I'll wait until you confess that and realize that's no way to live. Why? You're miserable. You're living, and get this, you're living under the law of sowing and reaping. When we are in the filling of the Holy Spirit, we reap what we do not sow, because Jesus Christ did all the sowing, and we get all the blessing of that.
Amen. You know, I remember that experience as a young believer, grieving the Holy Spirit and becoming miserable. And, you know, there was a part of me that was actually rejoicing for this reason.
Yes.
I could do those things prior to believing on the Lord Jesus Christ without any problem. I had no misery. It was what I delighted to do. But all of a sudden, you know, now I do those same things which I once did and didn't think twice about them. Now I cannot do them without being miserable. And I thought, it's the presence of God. I actually celebrated. I remember specifically on one occasion saying, thank you, Lord, because I have never been miserable like this when I did these things before I accepted Christ as my Savior. But now I am perfectly miserable. Hallelujah. And it should be noted too that, you know, and of course, Becky brought this up, that we really want to confess that sin as soon as possible. And here's the reason why. If we don't, then what happens is the devil can step in and take the grieving of the Holy Spirit and all of a sudden turn it into condemnation.
Yes. Wow.
And again, it's the Spirit, you know, that we grieve and he pleads with us to confess that sin. Whereas the devil can take advantage of that and say, no, this is who you are. You are condemned. You have tolerated this in your life. I'm not sure God loves you as he once did. I'm not sure that you're as accepted as you once thought you were. And he begins to take advantage of that. So, again, agreeing with our adversary quickly is so important.
Wow, that's so good. Thinking that, you know, the adversary is the Holy Spirit to provoke me to get back into his authoritative operation. And like what Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the what? Sons. Well, we don't lose our sonship, but like the prodigal son who was out in a far country, didn't experience the love of his father, the comfort of his home, the provision that he had as a son, he came to the end of himself. He ran his life into the ground. And when we experience only ourselves in this life, we are most impoverished. But when we experience the filling of the Spirit, the love of the God, of the body, the authority of the word, the preciseness of light, then we can say, hallelujah, my circumstances could be shot to hell, but I am experiencing a grace and a provision that could only come from God.
Amen. And that, Dominic DiPiazza has written to us, says, hello, pastors. I love the idea that we can be sure that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us when the content of the message that he's giving us is consistent with the grace of God. And that is such a great truth. The Holy Spirit really witnesses to the fact that our message is accurate, precise, right on the money, so to speak, when it's grace-oriented.
Yeah, well, we wouldn't have thought of grace, you know, or we have conditional grace. We have grace like baseball, you know, three strikes.
Yeah.
You know. But Dominic, God bless you. By the way, my son David loves you. He's a bass player and...
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, they had a communion there.
Well, I mean, you know, this guy's a hero in the music world.
Yes, yes.
That is so beautiful.
And he's a hero in the kingdom of God.
That's correct.
Great, great faith that inspires so many.
Amen.
Laird Bean has written to us, says, our leading of the Holy Spirit will never contradict the objective word. This is a trap that many believers have fallen into. The word of God must be our daily guide. No question about it. And I love the fact that the Holy Spirit, again, brings to our remembrance the words that Jesus has spoken.
You know, it's a cute kind of illustration pertaining to, the hard drive versus a thumb drive. Okay, or, you know, what's in the cloud and what you got on your machine. Now, I don't need to have every truth, all the promises of God are yea and amen, but I don't need to memorize or recall all of those promises all at once. I just need the one that is relevant for the moment. And so all of the promises are in Christ Jesus. All he's asking me to do is to trust that the Holy Spirit will download that to me in the moment when I need it. And then, like I said earlier, I'm going to look like I'm a genius, you know, but it's the wisdom of God in operation by faith.
Did all you geeks get that? All that technical
spiritual terminology. Geeks,
amen.
Yes,
yeah, right. That's really what it's all about. And you can add to it the fact that there are some things in our lives that we need to delete permanently.
Hey, I like that.
By the blood of Jesus.
There we go.
All right. Well, still getting comments sent to us. Monique is, she's written to us. Monique Davis is so very thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit that bears witness to the truth of the Word of God. Because of the indwelling Spirit, we receive fresh illumination from God that equips us and helps us make the right decisions. This is so needed in a time where there are so many voices. The Holy Spirit clearly points out to us the things that God wants us to see. What a great thought.
Great thought, Monique. And, you know, it's true. You know, there are multiple voices, and some of them have even, you know, biblical vocabulary, but discernment. So what does it mean to discern? Well, the first and foremost thing that the Holy Spirit will afford me to do is to discern the body of Jesus Christ. And what do we mean by that? Not just my local assembly, though it's included in that, but even the valid portions around the world. So I'm not hesitant to receive from other portions and other men and women of God. But at the same time, the discernment that the Holy Spirit gives is like, so does this exalt Jesus Christ, or is it exalting the speaker? Does this honor the finished work of Christ, or does it have some admixture of human works and human righteousness involved? And I'm not smart enough to figure that stuff out on myself, but the Holy Spirit will give us discernment on it.
Amen. Well, you know, when you hear someone make that statement, well, I believe I'm led by the Holy Spirit, I think sometimes it's difficult for some people to try to comprehend and fathom what does that actually mean in a very practical, outworking kind of a way. What does it mean when someone says, I am led by the Spirit? Because we know that there are many things in the Scripture that are very, very clear, especially when it comes to the will of God. For instance, you know, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The will of God is that you would abstain from sexual sin in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We could go on and mention some of those very objective truths, but sometimes the Holy Spirit is going to lead us, and we're not necessarily going to have a passage of Scripture that backs up the decision that we make, but can the Holy Spirit speak loud enough so that a willing soul can hear him?
Wow, that's such a great question. And I am amazed how that early on in the Apostle Paul's ministry, and how that he was desirous, out of objective obedience to the Great Commission, to go to Asia. And what was it? It was the Holy Spirit that told him not to go. Now, you say, like, what? You know, that seems to be contrary to, you know, biblical truth. But I think it's the fellowship that we are learning to have, the intimacy that we have been invited into, that progressively gives us a sense of the discerning voice. And what I mean by voice, I don't mean a voice in my ear, but a understanding in the heart that this is the beautiful leading of the Holy Spirit. And the great umpire, Pastor Love, is the peace, okay? Let the peace of God, you know, umpire, it says, your heart. Well, what does the umpire do? The umpire has the last word on the pitch, you know, whatever. You know, you got a batter, you got a pitcher, you got a catcher. Okay, those three people have three different viewpoints on it. But when the umpire says, ball, and the batter says, yes, okay, and the pitcher says, no, that was over the corner, you know, like, it doesn't matter what he or she thinks. It's what the umpire, the Holy Spirit, and he's going to say, this is peace unto you. So evidently, Paul, though he wanted to go to Asia, did not have peace. And then they got led to Macedonia, and, you know, the story continues on that basis.
Amen. So, again, we can take great confidence and find great comfort in the fact that the Holy Spirit will lead. I think that there has to be within the heart of the believer a commitment to do as God would lead them to do, even before the Holy Spirit starts to direct their path.
Mm. Wow.
There's got to be that commitment. In other words, if we become subjective and say, I'm going to do what I want to do no matter what the Holy Spirit says, we've got a real problem. So we have to remain objective, and we have to remain available to the Spirit's leading, even if it means it's inconvenient, it troubles us.
Mm-hmm.
We're not thrilled about how the Holy Spirit's leading. We're better off waiting upon the Spirit of God and being led by the Spirit of God than to trust our own intuition, so to speak.
You know, I don't know about this gut feeling thing that a lot of people want to go by. Pardon me. But Ananias is a personal hero of mine. He comes on the scene because Saul of Tarsus is kicking the church in the teeth. And, you know, he's on the road to Damascus and he gets knocked off his horse. And we know the story. But then God had to find an Ananias who, you know, with, you know, clear understanding, this man Saul, you know, Lord, he's wreaked havoc upon your people. You know, I would much rather have it that he stay blind. I think that's a good thing. And, Ananias was told, no, you got to go down the straight street and lay your hands on this man so that he, you know, receives his sight. And he had to obey, even though his intellect or his understanding, you know, maybe didn't want to do that. Okay. And I like what you're saying. So what is that predisposition, or what is that availability ahead of time? Well, I think it's humility. It's humility to say, I don't have enough smarts to govern my own life. So, Lord, I wake up today with an availability for you to guide me. I got an, you know, I got an agenda, and I know I can go out and do my job. I can, you know, choose what I want for lunch and, you know, have my day. But can you, Lord, have the veto rights? And I give that to you. That's our volitional decision to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And in due season, he'll lift us up and give us a great day. Great day. Lunch, whether or not we have it.
Amen. Yeah, that's wonderful to think about the Spirit's ministry. Again, we all could easily ask ourselves, you know, what would our lives look like without the Spirit of God indwelling us? And, you know, we are the temple. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I, you know, that great truth was driven home to me once again as a young believer, realizing that, you know, some people might think, well, I don't need to take care of my physical body. Well, let's remind ourselves that physical body that God has given you is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He resides in you. He is there to lead you and to guide you. Then it became, you know, I had a different perspective about my life and what I did with my physical body, because I realized I was bought with a price. I was not my own.
Wow. Yeah, ownership. And because the Lord is the owner, we are simply the stewards of what we have, you know, who owns this body. Because if it didn't take, you know, the second person of the Trinity, not just to forgive me of my sins, but to, in a future tense, be able to take this, you know, this physical body and then glorify it. He's got a plan.
Amen.
And so as long as he's got a plan for this body, I should get with that plan and agree with him and walk with integrity and walk with honor in the physical body will as well.
Amen. Well, we're out of time, Pastor Wright.
Out of time.
Thanks for joining us today.
Sure. Thank you.
Friends, keep Sandy Kennedy in your prayers. She's just returned home from the hospital, still having some issues. Father, we pray for her today. Touch her body. Heal her. Do for her what the antibodies and the antibiotics cannot do.
Wow.
In Jesus' name, amen. Hope you'll join us tomorrow, friends. We've got a great message coming from Pastor Ben Turquia, all the way live from Jerusalem. That's coming up tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you.